1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Okay, it's not a Jordan years Bulls Knicks matchup today at the United Center, but no. It is still compelling because the Bulls are back. They're hosting the Philadelphia 76ers,
and nice we are game here in Indiana.
We are here to talk about it. Jesse Rogers, Mark Zander, for the next couple hours here on ESPN 1000. I'm just looking at the standings. Four games separate the top six seeds in the East. I haven't been this Bulls excited in. I don't know, it's been a long time. Several decades.
And we didn't know we were going to get here so soon. And certainly they've gone on a recent skid, which is understandable. You know, you're missing some players. And
skid still has them at the top of the conference.
No, right. They are not too far away. Nice game in Indiana the other day. So very exciting, especially when the Bears aren't playing in the postseason. The Hawks are a mess.
And there's no spring training.
which we're going to talk to you about. Not that you have any breaking news. But you know what? Look, we're frustrated, and the fan and you must be frustrated.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're a week away from what should be sort of the
we
right.
We should be excited.
Baseball's all about the rhythm of the season, and it starts with spring. Even as a reporter, I look forward to spring training and just sort of the rhythm of those 4 to 6 weeks there, and then you pick up the regular season. Obviously, the weather changes, you know, all that stuff. That's part of baseball. Yeah. It's just the rhythm of it all.
It throws you off. If you're really a baseball fan, it throws you off in the year.
Yeah,
but it throws them off, too.
Let's put that aside for a moment. We only have two hours to talk here on a Sunday morning. Jesse Rogers, Mark Zander, 312-332-3776 is the phone number. Bulls and Sixers later today. I want to get into the whole Bulls sort of fan psychology. I don't know if that's the right phrase to use. We'll get to that in a bit. But Bears hired another coach. Feels like they're hiring a coach every day now.
It looks like they're almost done. Yeah, they've got maybe one or two left. Okay, Richard Hightower was hired today, special teams coordinator. So that TBA is marked off the list. Now we've got looks like a TBA for the running backs coach and a TBA for the tight ends coach. But I'll tell you something, they're moving quick, and it all started with the hire of Ryan Poles.
So we'll talk about that. Richard Hightower. Now, the special teams coordinator, he was here in 2016 as the assistant special teams coach.
Okay,
so now
so
he's back.
Up.
And Flus, as we like to call him, you know, Flus is almost done with his staff, which is just, you know, checking off one of about 100 boxes this team has to do this offseason. And obviously,
it's got to start somewhere, but there are a lot of needs, and filling out the coaching staff is first and foremost. You know, it was really cool to see over the week, and I can't remember where I saw it, but Ryan Poles was talking to reporters, and he really expressed his distaste for the fact that Bears players were not standing up for each other. And he called out Tevin Jenkins doing that in that game, which I can't remember what game it was. Maybe Tyler remembers real quick, but Tevin jumped in. Right. And he got in the face of people, and he took it was somebody on the team that hit him and kind of chastised him on the field. Seeing Ryan Poles, a former OL, step in and say, that's got to be part of the culture. That's so nice to hear. It's obvious, but it's obvious it hasn't been the case, and it's nice to hear from the GM.
It is. I mean, we're going to get a lot into the Bears. I mean, they're just a week you know, they've just hired these guys. It's just all still brand new for everyone to sort of absorb. In fact, I was at Hallis Hall earlier in the week for the press conferences when Flus, like calling him Flus, Poles and then Justin Fields all spoke to the media. I was able to talk one-on-one a little bit with Poles and Eberflus. I'm struggling because it's the same sort of feeling we had when they hired Nagy and even Pace.
They came in with good reputations.
John Fox came in with a good reputation. I know. Even as bad as Trubisky was as a draft pick at number two, he still came in with a decent reputation. And when you talk to scouts, like there were things they liked about him. If he wasn't the number two pick, he was a first rounder.
Right.
And now he's a backup. And so there's just this weird thing that goes on up there that I related to the Cubs, having been around them, you know, for so long before they won. Being the manager and even I guess the GM of the Cubs is just feels different. Feels like you're pushing a boulder uphill a big boulder uphill more than most teams. Like, right. It's just different. I feel the Bears' jobs, QB, head coach, and even GM, are in that situation. You're up against more than just the normal, hey, we got to beat the Lions. You're up against this negative inertia.
Not only that, but the damage that was caused before. I mean, you know, the draft, the amount of draft picks we have is very unimpressive, and that was prior regime. So they've got a lot of fixing to do, and you're right, it's more about just beating those teams. There's a lot of steps to take to get to that point, to being a trustworthy team for us fans.
And you're if right. There's one thing I kind of wonder about is, is it going to take that much longer because you hired a first-time GM and a first-time coach who didn't really know each other? But then that's okay. I'm just saying they're hiring all these coaches from all over. We don't have any patience. They're going to probably think they've got to have patience within that building because it can't all come together in 1 year. Now, it can move quickly.
You're right.
Look at the Bengals.
Yes.
It can move quickly, but you need special people for it to move quickly.
And are these the special people?
In a job where you're pushing up against all this negativity because of the years of losing. Again, it reminds me of the Cubs' jobs.
A
special manager and a special GM, president, and Theo and Joe Maddon to get it done.
Guys were experienced.
With resumes,
yes.
Right. Here are first-time guys, just like Nagy and Pace were first-time guys. Good resumes, good head on their shoulders, it looked like. Hell, Trestman had it. Mark Trestman had a decent reputation coming in. Not so much NFL resume as a head coach, but good reputation. First year was good, and then he lost the locker room. Nagy, first year's good, and slowly but surely, he and Trubisky take each other down, and Pace does as well. And so one of the questions I wanted to ask, 3-1-2-3-3-2-3-7-7-3-3-2-3-7-7-6, thank you, is...
It's a mouthful.
Yes, is... And it's just a very simple question, but it's splitting hairs. But between the coach and the GM, what was the most important hire to get right? And at first, I was like all over the coach because you need the coach to get the best out of Fields in this offense. But I've kind of wavered on it. It's like you heard Bill Polian on these airwaves. They have 6 to 9 blue chippers. You need at least a dozen. Pace really messed up this roster. And now I'm thinking it's personnel first and foremost.
Look, with what Pace did, what would another coach, a more capable coach than Matt Nagy, been able to do? We can't answer that. It's something to ponder.
Is it the chicken or the egg?
Right. I think it is the GM. I'm very excited with Poles,
and
I trust the Poles thing enough to trust everything that's coming in place.
I trust Poles more than I do. I trust Poles more than I do Eberflus. I trust Poles more.
Right.
Just off the bat, without any. We have nothing.
And why is it? Just his press conference talking to him?
Nothing like that. Just
recommendations.
The resume we have is three different front offices in Kansas City.
Right.
He gets promoted each time.
A successful program.
And it's
a
pretty good program.
Yep. Yeah.
Now, Nagy came from that program, so we have to be careful.
Right.
It
almost seems like Nagy was selling himself more than anybody else was selling
him. But
in hindsight.
What's Poles? 36 years old?
36, 37.
At 36, to sort of do what he's done, there's got to be some special ingredient in there.
Right.
And this eye for talent, the former offensive lineman, a former offensive lineman who didn't go very far as a pro, so it's not like he had this name recognition.
Mm-hmm.
He works his way up to be the GM of the Bears at 36. Like, there better be something special about him.
Sure.
Wherever Eberflus, I just kind of feel like he's another guy with a good that deserves a shot.
And we'll get to it. Some recommendations, pretty heavy recommendations,
yeah,
too, which is nice.
There's a lot of guys that deserve a shot that have been wearing a headset for a long time. So I feel like if someone's special among that group of new people, it's Poles, but it could be Eberflus. I don't know.
Yeah, we've got a couple phone calls to get to. Mike in North Center. Mike, you're on with Jesse Rogers and Mark Zander here on ESPN 1000.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
First time, long time.
Yeah.
I just had a quick suggestion. I was about to say, you guys are hyping up this new GM way too much. I was just going to say, you guys should hire Jason Giambi as your new head coach, and Mike Rutherford as your new GM. I'm going to hang up and listen. I hope you guys.
Wait, you
get
guys.
To
oh, who do you root for? You're saying you guys. Who do you root for?
Oh, I root for the Green Bay Packers.
Okay. Okay. How do you feel about what's going on up there?
I got a Super Bowl under my belt and a couple playoff appearances. So I'm chilling. How are you guys feeling?
Well, we're
the Super Bowl was like a decade ago. I mean, thank God. So we have a Super Bowl under our belt as well.
Yeah.
And the 86 Bears could have beat any of your Packer teams. So get the hell out of here.
Yeah, he's out. He knew when
get
to
him
jump.
Out.
He knew when to jump. Okay. So I, Jason Giambi.
He's an idiot.
Yeah, okay. All right, we've got Matt in Streamwood. I'm confident Matt is going to bring us something really good that we could use here on ESPN 1000. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Xander. Hey, Jesse. I just wanted to comment. Jesse, you are right. It is the GM. Because, have you seen with Ryan Pace, with his selections, of his limited selections on his, because he's always trading off and trading off picks for the first, second, and third round, that with his selections, that Matt Nagy didn't do nothing with those picks, no matter what he got, whether because he only wanted the offense. He said he didn't want to be bothered with the defense. And the one good thing that I liked about Matt Eberflus, what he said, was that he wanted to be a head coach. He didn't want to be like Matt Nagy. Oh, I don't want to do offense. No, you're a head coach. You got to lead the men, regardless if it's offense, defense, or special team. You got to be leader of men.
Well, I don't know if Matt Nagy didn't want to do that. Eberflus is going to have
seemed a little more interested in offense.
He said that in the first 2 years. Remember when he's like,
run the I formation.
Yeah, remember when they said, oh, well, you know, your defense got you the takeaway. He's like, but we want that on offense. He's like, I don't want that. I want my offense to be the reason we score points. Well, regardless of how you got points, Matt Nagy, you should be happy that you got points. Regardless of who is it on, you know, and it made no sense, you know, that why he was so worried that he only wanted to do offense, but he didn't want to be a head coach. You're the head coach. You said you can lead, regardless if it's offense, defense, or special teams.
All right. Thanks, Matt. Yeah,
thanks, Matt.
I hear you.
You know, perception in hindsight is real easy to try to assemble. It did seem at times that he seemed more, excited about the offense and pushing his plan that did not exactly match the players that he was given.
Well, that
by,
I agree with
Ryan Pace. And when you're a head coach, you have to look at who you have and tailor it to them. You can't just force it down throats, and that's what I think happened. And he always seemed to be a little more interested in offense. That's where he came.
Well,
from.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, especially in a league that really.
But when you're a head coach, you've got to lead the entire team. And I kind of get what Matt's saying.
I kind of get what he's saying, but I mean, you don't think Eberflus is going to have a bigger hand on the defensive side than the offensive side? It's just natural when that's your expertise.
Well, I'm hoping he puts the right DC in.
Well,
he has. Alan Williams.
Yeah.
I'm hoping he'll let Alan do his thing because, look, when we see head coaches lead the whole team and let the offense and the defensive coordinators really kind of interact with the players and put the plans into place, that seems to be better than when you have a coach that wants to also be the play caller and the offensive guy.
Yeah, but you guys are implying that he didn't talk to his defensive people or players or coaches. We don't know that about Nagy.
We don't.
Wasn't a huge reputation thing. Like, oh my God, he never talks to the defense. We never heard that about him. We just know that he didn't
follow up with meetings.
I wish he had less of a hand on the offense just because he was bad at it.
He turned out
to be bad at it. If they're good at it, you want their expertise.
It would have been great to have a great offensive coordinator. He back up and just be, you know, and obviously we went back and forth with Laser calling the plays and all this. And did he really call the plays? Did he not? It doesn't matter. We're moving forward. I'm excited about what I've heard about Luke Getsy, too, which was a no name until he got hired. And we've seen people like Aaron Rodgers and others speak highly of him.
They all spoke highly of Pace and Nagy.
I
want to see one article that doesn't speak highly of somebody, highly of someone that gets hired
for
a job.
Right,
and that's what we saw. And I think if Eberflus or Poles were listening right now, they'd have no problem with us saying they have to show it.
Yeah.
They have to show it. There's no way.
It's okay to have hope now, but they have to show it.
After what we've been through in Chicago over the years. Good resumes, bad resumes, experience, no experience, they've all failed. Good high draft picks, low draft, they've all failed to the highest level.
Yep.
I mean, there's been moments. Nagy went to the playoffs. But
it's
all
okay
failed
to have hope, right,
over the
Jesse?
Big, over
is
the
it
long
okay
haul.
To have hope?
Yeah, just but they certainly have to win us over.
They have to prove it, yeah, for sure. 312-332-3776. Back with more of Bears talk. You want to jump in? 312-332-3776. Bears and a lot more. We'll get back to it. It's ESPN 1000. It's Jesse and Xander, ESPN 1000 on a Sunday morning. Also, you can find us on the app anytime. All the podcasts are up there, including Crosstalk Unhinged, which is hilarious, and 100.3 HD2. So we've got phones are cooking this morning, Jesse.
Well, I mean, we've got a new regime up at Howell's. So yes, we want to talk about it.
Yeah, Q is downtown. He wants to weigh in on the GM or coach. Which one is more important? Hey, Q, what's up?
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing, man?
Good.
Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday, man. Happy I'm listening Sunday. To you guys. I think just looking at the position, it's a refreshing here, but the Bears have a lot of work to do. Like, Ryan Pace really, really, really messed over the roster. For Poles to take over the job, it's like he got a lot to look forward to with revamping his roster. When you're looking at the production, you're looking at the signing at running back with Tariq Cohen, and they didn't get no production out of that. You're looking at the tight end, Jimmy Graham, that's $10 million there. You're looking at the Eddie Jackson, his production. You're looking at – it's a lot of things that they have to look at and reconsider with Poles have his hands full with revamping his roster and the production and the style that they want here. That's just my opinion, guys. I'm just chiming in. I'll hang up and let you guys go from there on how the roster should be revamped or how Ryan Pace really did the put them in a bad position on redoing the whole roster.
You're no right,
doubt.
Q. Thanks.
No doubt. Thanks, Q. You know, and going back to that question, it's kind of also about timing. Right now, the GM is much more important than the coach, but come September, the coach is going to be a lot more important in our minds.
Right.
Now,
right.
Having said that, it's
the GM that makes the acquisition, right, signs the players, puts the and roster
those,
together.
And those personnel that are right. playing in September, even though we're going to be focused on the coach, right. are still the GM's responsibility.
Right. But,
so,
you know, Q has a great point.
I still think it's a good question no matter what time of year you ask it.
It is. And we're looking overall, but Q had a great point in that Ryan Pace put us so far behind, it is not going to be a quick matter of time to dig out of this issue because of salary cap and everything, lack of draft picks. But we did see with the Bulls, now, I mean, maybe a little apples to oranges, but they have salary cap issues. They have different things that they have to deal with. And they made a pretty good turnaround in a pretty quick fashion. Now, can we draw a straight line to the Bears? Not necessarily. However, they've got a lot of work to do, obviously, and it's just more than what seems to be on the surface.
Yeah, and I'd focus on that offense. I don't care. I look, if you lose 35-31, so be it. This is the NFL in 2021, 2022. You heard the word explosiveness in their press conference. You hear it from coaches all the time. They don't have that on offense. They have a good foundation with a quarterback, we think, and two running backs.
Right.
I like that. A lot to work with there. And the quarterback who can run as well. So right. if you want to run the RPO or something, that could work with those three guys, Herbert, Montgomery, and Fields. But there's a lot of other work to do. Mooney's not a number one. If Robinson's a one, he certainly wasn't last year when he played. They're really good twos.
Yes.
They're not Jamar Chase.
Right.
They're not Waddle. They're right. not... Devontae Adams, who, by the way, why don't we sign him? They're not, pick. They're not even Odell Beckham, for God's sakes, who's, right. you know, maybe in the second half of his career.
Right.
So they need explosiveness on offense. They need an offensive
line. Wouldn't
that
be great if they did sign Adams? What a kick in the pants.
Oh, my
That'd
God.
Be.
I
hey,
mean,
well,
if you,
you
have
never
to,
know.
If you let Akeem Hicks go. You know, you can move some salary around and put it on offense and just let the defense, whatever,
this first
year.
Develop that quarterback.
Year. Yeah.
Develop that quarterback. Greg in downtown here, he wants to jump in on ESPN 1000. Hey, Greg.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me on.
How you been?
I've been good. Right now, I'm actually in Houston because I'm a truck driver.
Okay.
But, man, I think that kid, that general manager, I think that's the most important job. Q was right about what he said. and just go a little further. You can't get draft pick back that you give away.
Right.
You know, also, Pace, you know, you can see he never did his research. How you going to go get Trubisky when you got Mahomes or Watson out there? He should have been fired after that.
Yeah, that's going to really follow him for a long time. And the biggest thing is just the actual trading up to get Trubisky. One spot, it was just, that's really going to follow him.
Yep.
But just like that game, Kansas City came and played a Mahomes, put his finger out number 10, you know, because he was a 10th pick.
Right. You know, the thing that Pace left us with is Justin Fields. If we can develop him, that talk about Trubisky hopefully will fade into the background. And we don't even care about the talk. We just hope that we have
some. Because he ruined enough.
Yeah.
And I don't, right now, I'm really, you know, I'm not going to really take a thing that Justin Fields, because as far as you know, Justin Fields could have been confused just because of Nagy. He could have faked the injury just because he didn't want to get out there because of Nagy.
Well, I'm certainly confused by Nagy. I think we all were. We all were.
Right.
So getting rid of Nagy in the
quarter. A running team for years, we can't run the ball for 2 or 3 years.
Right.
But Greg, forget about reputations and stuff. The job of an offense is to score points. I don't care how you do it.
Yeah.
The job of an offense is to confuse the defense. I mean, that's what the great coaches do.
Right.
I mean, even with secondary personnel, you can still have some success if you can scheme it the right way. But he wasn't able to do that on offense.
This past season, there was a game where Belichick, he passed three times?
And they won.
And he made that adjustment because that was what Nagy wasn't able to do.
Are you kidding me? What they did in Cleveland, he should have been locked up. What they did to Fields in Cleveland. That game plan?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
We're rehashing stuff we know.
Yeah. That goes right back to Reeves.
It does.
Ryan Pace seeing Nagy standing next to Reeves. Oh, he must be a great play caller and a great offensive guy. I think I'm going to hire him.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, we've moved on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Yeah. Thank you. Bye.
All right, we've got Sean and Gilberts. He wants to talk about the Packers.
He's worried about that.
We'll entertain that. Yeah.
Slide one in.
Hey, Sean. What's up, buddy?
How's it going, guys? All right. I'm not want to talk about the Packers. I mean, I grew up in St. Louis, so moving up here is not very fun for me. But I got to say one thing. As a Packers fan, I'm a little worried because the Bears have always been this place where good players come getting paid and then they go away. I'm worried that Poles might be able to bring some people around and bring in the right coaches. And next thing you know, the presence of Chicago, the big city, come play, and it's just going to overwhelm the North, and I'm going to be sitting back here for another 10 years just watching it go the other way.
Well, you had your show.
I mean, what do you guys think?
Yeah, you had your run.
We all want to. I love the Packers. I've been a Packers fan since I was 5 years old when Brett Favre was on the team.
So
I don't want to see that go away.
Right. Are you concerned about if Aaron is going to go, or you had enough of that, you just want to move on?
I don't mind. I mean, if he goes, he's going to go. It's not a big deal, but I'm more so that roster. I mean, you have, if you watch the playoffs, all they did was shut down our running game,
mm-hmm.
and then they bracketed covered Davante Adams, and we can't throw with anybody. You know, we got MBS who's either hurt or he doesn't know what you're going to do. They got Lazar who depends, you know. It's like one Sunday he goes off, the next Sunday he disappears. So it's just they only have two people and there's nothing you could do. I mean, they scored one. They are the only team that scored a touchdown and they still lost in that game. Like,
Sean, what number would Davante Adams wear on the Bears? Hey, Sean, have a good day.
I don't know. All right.
Call Packer Radio. That was about a minute too long on Packers conversation. And I'll wait until Ryan Poles delivers the big city to these free agents. Give me a break. Chicago's been, you know.
We've been the big city for a long time not had a football team that reflects that.
So.
And I don't mind talking to the Packers right now only because they're sensing some doom.
Yeah, whatever. You know? I'll believe it when I see it.
Well,
they seem to do pretty well.
They, with what they have.
Even turning over quarterbacks, but, they've done pretty well.
Well, we'll see what Jordan Love's
maybe,
all about.
Maybe he'll be the next guy.
And if he turns out to be really, really good, that may be because of Luke Getsy. Which
maybe, look, but he's no longer there, so we'll see.
Well, we could use somebody like that for Justin, obviously.
Hey, I want to talk about the Bulls when we come back. 312-332-3776. I want you to answer this question. Most excited, several questions. Most excited you've been about the Bulls since. Now, that might be easy, but fill in that blank for me. What has this Bulls team done to your household? I'm serious, because you said at the beginning of the show, the Blackhawks are full of negativity. I mean, on the ice, on, off the
both,
ice.
Both,
just yeah. Disaster stretch for the Blackhawks right now. People are wanting Rocky to sell the team at this point. The Bears pretty much have been a disaster, and this new regime is just taking over. We've had 30 years of frustration watching the Bears. This is their first year. Now we're going to have more patience for them, right? Yep. So that's there's a baseball lockout going on. The White Sox have this World Series contending team that it's on hold for the moment. But the Bulls, I feel like, have galvanized this city if you're a sports fan. They have brought people together.
It's a good time.
Republicans and Democrats alike.
Really? Well, that's, wow, that's, I would like to see that.
It's been amazing in my house. I've mentioned this a few weeks ago, I think, on the air. Maybe I was just telling Sylvie about it. It's just been amazing. My daughter, I mean, she never cared. Now she's texting me, Io, you know, bring the hot sauce. Yeah. She's asking me to take her to games. I'm looking for free tickets wherever I can find them.
See, that just
it's
you know,
amazing
the fans.
What this team has done to this city. Two things about it. We're starving for a winner in general, but when you are a team that's lost for as long as the Bulls have, and then you produce a winner, it's always that first year. 2015 Cubs, for example.
Right.
The White Sox have, like, the last 12 months, really. This Bulls team, if the Bears ever get good, that initial moment will... It will
it
capture the city.
Yes.
Now, if you're good for 10 years, you get a little jaded sometimes. That's right. Natural sometimes. And maybe we did even
it
in the Jordan years a little bit.
Yes, it did.
But now, this new team with this these likable players, led by this rookie. That's why I say led by him.
I'm telling you, he's the face of the team. I mean, to a certain degree.
He is,
to a certain degree. And it is going to even get bigger
and better
for him.
He's the face of the fun of the team, of the enjoyment.
Chicago kid.
Yes.
Great story. We're
going
to talk about the Bulls. We'll take your calls on the Bears, too.
But fill in those blanks. What has this done to your house?
Okay.
It's cheered my house up.
And how long has it been since you've been that excited about the Bulls?
I'll tell you, basketball is not my first love.
Right.
I've covered every other sport for ESPN, but it's not my
first love. Chicago team is fun.
Yeah.
And what about the timing? Because of everything else not being there, it's a great time to be the Bulls.
And so today made me think of the Jordan era, appointment TV today. Jordan played if there was a Sunday afternoon to play, the Bulls were playing on it.
Right.
You know, if there was an ABC game, similar feeling, Sunday afternoon, here we are, Bulls and Sixers. Sixers right there with the Bulls, one of the best teams in the East. I'm making my day around that. Around
it's
that
been a long
today.
Time since you've done that.
A long time.
312-332-3776. Back with Jesse and Xander here on ESPN 1000. Jesse Rogers, Mark Xander, together on ESPN 1000 in the window today on State Street, the First Midwest Bank studio. And we're talking Bulls. We're talking Bears. Well, let's take the Bears call first. Andre in the South Loop wants to jump in on this GM versus coach, most important thing. Overall, if you have feelings on it, 312-332-3776. Hey, Andre, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. First time, long time. Look. I'm wondering about this new GM, and I had one question again about this new GM. Does he take Peen up the A? I'll hang up and listen.
Hit the button. There you go. All right. Getting some, it's a Sunday morning, getting some weird callers. Huh?
Yeah, thanks for that. Okay, whatever.
So we're gonna move from the It's got to be those Packer fans calling in.
Yeah, it does. Look, Packers fans, you guys have a lot to worry about, be concerned about, do your own thing. You know? 312-332-3776. All right, Colin. He's in Vegas. He wants to talk Bulls because we're excited about the Bulls. I mean, nobody else is playing right now, right? I mean, the Blackhawks are technically.
Well, yeah.
Hey, Colin. Talk about the Bulls.
Good morning,
Jim. Good morning.
Yes, Matt. Good morning. Yeah, it is. It's super exciting to watch this team again. I'm thrilled. I did something I hadn't done in a very long time, which was actually go on YouTube and look at highlights of the Bulls current season. I haven't done that in a long
time. And that's actually what I'm talking about. Yeah,
you know, it's just fantastic. And I was saying to your producer that the Bulls lost me when they traded Elton Brand away. I thought that was a horrible thing when they did that at the time. But I certainly got excited about the Rose teams, but I also knew who they were, and I also knew that they just didn't have the depth at that moment in time to get over the hump of LeBron and the super teams and Chris Bosh and Wade and those guys and the Celtics too at those times. But this team that I see – a team that's playing fundamental basketball. They make smart passes. They take the smart shot. They don't live and die by the three pointer. Yes, they take it when it's there, but no problem dumping it down low. And I just love seeing that. And that's because that's what's turned me off about the NBA for so long was just always shooting the three. And my point had always been that's great. That's very hard to do. But what's wrong with a good bounce pass? You know, every now and again.
Right. And so you're pretty thrilled about Billy Donovan because I think he's the difference maker beyond AK putting that team together.
Absolutely. What they did is exactly what the Bears needed to do, which, you know, the Bulls made that fundamental, serious, actual change. Mm-hmm. They took it seriously. The Bears did it just partially took it seriously. They did it at the halfway point, but the Bulls. Oh, I'm thrilled with what AK and Billy have done. It's just wonderful. I'm happy to be a Bulls fan again. I can actually have a good conversation with people about it when I'm at work, and not be like, yeah.
And you make time for the games.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now they unfortunately out here in Vegas they start awfully early, but I am able to catch them.
Yeah. No, it's been fun here in Chicago and.
Thanks, Colin.
You know, last game's a good example he's talking about. I mean, they were 6-for-26 from three-point land, and yet they won and scored a lot of points, 122-115 over Indiana.
Caruso's not playing our defensive key.
But how about Vooch last game? 16-of-21, 76% from the field, but only took two three-pointers. That's the kind of Vooch I like.
Right.
Don't just because you make one or two out there, don't sit out there the rest of the game.
That's a good point.
Stay down low.
Yep. That's where his strength is.
Get him the ball down low.
He's good around the basket all the time.
He doesn't seem to miss anything around the basket. I mean, last game was the Vooch I want to see, not out in the perimeter. Right. We've seen that with big men. They make a couple three-pointers, and they think they're three-point experts. I think he's shooting like 33% or less from three-point land this year. Let's put him down low and let him work around the basket.
We have those outside tools. 312-332-3776.
Yeah, they haven't really been healthy all year.
Right.
I mean, there were some spurts early.
Zach may play. We still don't know for today.
Yeah.
I guess he's questionable.
Yeah.
Certainly Caruso is out. You know, trade deadline coming up in 4 days. Kind of wondering what AK's thinking, you know, if he just stays with the core that he's built.
Yeah.
Because we've been unhealthy, and that is, you know, that's a play of, okay, are we going to make a serious run this year, or do we just sit back and let our people get healthy?
Yeah, I'm in that camp that I don't think they can make a huge run. I want to be pleasantly disappointed for sure. And the playoffs, I wish the playoffs were next week. That's how excited I am for it. I don't know. I mean, I would try to trade for a big man, but I wouldn't give up anything.
Well, see, that's a key. You cannot give up the future. And I think management now seems to understand that.
And if New Jersey and Milwaukee are healthy, I don't think the Bulls can beat them in a series.
Right.
Either one of those teams. Just starting with those teams.
So if they
let alone the Heat, maybe.
Right. And if they can get better without giving up too much.
Fine.
You know, fine. But we can't give up too much. And I don't think that is the headspace that they're in.
No, I don't either. This isn't the final piece that they're looking for. 2 years from now, maybe, or even a year from now, I don't know, but I don't think we're quite there yet. But I know a lot of people want to believe it, and they could prove us wrong, but I don't think you can give up anything about the future.
But as a Bulls fan, you got to think, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, we don't have Caruso. How can we make that up? I mean, so it's a natural reaction to say, how can we do this? But I think that they probably will stand close to, you know, being where they are.
I think
And not doing too much.
I think so. I mean, I think they need a big man more than anything, someone to cover Kevin Durant, for example.
Yep.
Not that he's that coverable, but, you know, that game that he went down, Derrick Jones went down, that was he was covering Durant.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went down and they got killed. That's right now your best option when he's back. But they don't have that Denver.
Year.
Right. They don't have that defender. I said Denver. They don't have that defender right now. And just using Durant as an example, but there's other players that are going to be tough to cover.
Well, if anybody can find that diamond in the rough or that that person that could add to the team without giving too much away, it might be AK.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, so far, so good. That's for
sure. 312-332-3776. Talking about the Bulls, how excited are you? Are they appointment TV for you? And how long have you been not paying attention to the Bulls, and then all of a sudden you wake up and we have a team and it's worthy of watching.
I mean, the easy answer to that is the Derrick Rose years. But I even like this team more. I don't know. I mean, before things kind of went south for Rose, that was a likable team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Noah, Rose,
mm-hmm.
Tibbs in his own way was likable, but, you know, in a different kind of way, a gruff kind of way. But I think I like this team better.
I think I do, too. I like Tibbs, but I really like Billy Donovan. He seems like the right coach at the right time.
And I just like the how this team has come. That's the biggest surprise to me, how it came together so quickly. Yeah. I don't mean AK doing it quickly. I'm talking about on the court.
Right.
How quickly it's come together. I've mentioned this before. You sometimes you see teams, it takes 50, 60 games offensively to come together. And they've just really looked like a team offensively that's been together for years. Now, defensively, they have problems at times. But offensively, I feel like, man, with guys in and out of the lineup, they just continue to produce.
Right. And last year, you know, part of this core was together through the weird COVID season. They had a lot of challenges.
But not Io, not DeRozan.
Right. No, you're right. You're right. So adding to what was there last year, it has been a pleasant surprise, and, you know, again, you can't draw a direct line, but when I see what the Bulls were able to do in a short amount of time, given the right people, Hallis Hall, could it be possible? All kinds of fingers and toes crossed. 312-332-3776. We'll continue to talk about the Bulls if you want to jump in. You want to talk more about the Bears, what's going on there. We've got I mean, we'll talk about what's happening.
You want to talk about the lockout? Is that what you want to do, Xander?
Yeah,
we could. You want to bore everybody to death with the lockout?
I'm wearing my White Sox ESPN baseball shirt to try to push karma today, to try to get somewhere. And we can mention what's going on or what's not going on.
I'm hosting White Sox Weekly next Saturday, and that will be probably after they officially delay spring training. Like, at some point, I want to just open up the phone lines, whether it be on this show or White Sox Weekly, Connor's off, and just let Sox fans vent. Because if you're old enough, they had a World Series contending team in 94, and that got derailed. Now, hopefully, worst case scenario, just the beginning of this season is derailed, but you still get 5 months of baseball or something, and, you know, the Sox still can be that. But, I mean, how do you feel? You've got this team. You want to go out to Glendale and watch them in spring. You want to follow them from day one, and day one is not going to be the same if this thing gets delayed.
312-332-3776. Lots to talk about. It's Jesse Rogers, it's Mark Zander, and this is ESPN 1000.
This hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. Tickets for the Aer Lingus College Football Classic in Dublin, Ireland are on sale now. Head to nusports.com for details.
Talking Bulls, talking Bears, talking sports with you. Chicago Sports here on ESPN 1000 on a Sunday morning. Jesse Rogers, Mark Zander. We're on Twitch today, twitch.tv/ESPN1000 Chicago, if you want to watch us.
Yeah, let's continue on with the Bears and the Bulls, for that matter. Well, first of all, I want to get your take now. We're a week away. It feels like you know, the extra week of football, it does feel like everything's happening later than normal.
It does. It does.
Maybe with this 17-game schedule, they should only have 1 week between. Because I'm ready. I'm ready for the Super Bowl.
I am,
you know,
too.
Another week, really?
Leading up to this weekend, I thought, we have had action-packed football for a while.
Yeah.
And then it's this big lull this
weekend.
I
wonder if they'll reconsider that with the 17-week season. Let's just do 1 week between the championship game and the Super Bowl. Anyway,
it will be an 18-week season before they get rid of that week in between.
What you can, week to go, so you're allowed to change your mind who you're leaning towards.
Man, I like Burrow. I like Burrow and the Bengals. I'm telling you, the momentum's pretty crazy. Now, I called for them to get that first win in the playoffs. And then, I was not confident against the Chiefs. But I'll tell you something. That kid, and I mean, their whole plan against Mahomes and the Chiefs, pretty impressive. So the
whatever they did at halftime was amazing.
The momentum, I think, is I think they've just got too much momentum. I think Cincinnati.
I think it'll
be close, though.
I think those are good points. And I was about to say, in terms of a betting interest, I'd probably take Cincinnati. Was it like 4 points or something?
Is it four right now?
Something like that.
Yeah, like four and a half.
Yeah.
It's been moving a little bit.
I mean, it's not like the Rams are blowing people away. They play tight games as well. May as well take the four. Obviously, Rams could easily cover that. It's like you could go either way. But I'm with you. Like, if you don't believe in Burrow and that team now, they've survived that big sack game, you know, when he got sacked a million times.
Nine times.
Then they survived getting down on the road at Kansas City. Like, they obviously have more than just the Joe Burrow aura. They've got a team. And look, Ramsey versus Jamar Chase is going to be fun to watch. I don't think you can hold Chase down much. They won last week without Chase doing much. T. Higgins was the guy on offense. Even Boyd didn't do a lot. So, and Mixon, I mean, it was amazing that they won that game. I'm with you. I don't think I would bet against Cincinnati. And I certainly would take the points if I was.
Yep.
And maybe even pick them to win.
Yeah,
I think it's that close. The Rams are loaded. It could be their year. They're at home, all that jazz.
Right.
Like that, that's sort of you can easily make a case for the Rams.
You know,
you have to work a little bit harder to make a case for the Bengals, but not much harder.
You know, not to short sell the 49ers, but I thought the Rams would handle them a little easier than they did.
A lot of people did.
And I think it's coupled with that and what the Bengals have been able to do, or just kind of speak to me that it is definitely Burrow and the Bengals.
What's interesting to me is two teams that don't know each other very well. You saw the Niners and Rams, however that the outcome was, it starts with they know each other so well. The Bengals and Chiefs had just played a couple weeks. They knew each other well. Here, it feels like the old AL versus NL when they've never met. And, you know, who does that favor? I don't know.
Remember, the Rams
are that they don't know each other.
The Rams are at their home stadium, which isn't that the first time that's happened?
No, last year was the first time. The Buccaneers.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So now it's back to back years.
Yeah, which is
technically Cincinnati is the home team for this game. Did you see that?
The AFC is the home team.
It goes back and forth. And technically, it's the AFC.
I don't even know why
they
even bother.
Why even say that? Why not?
Right.
Just a neutral field.
It's all for the coin toss.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Whatever.
Beyond the coin toss, it doesn't
have a coin toss to determine who gets to pick the coin toss. I'm with you. Are we in the minority like in the Bengals?
I don't think so. I think there are a lot of Bengal
believers. The odds makers would
now
say we're in the minority.
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. But I think I think people are sensing the Bengals and what they've been able to do. It's certainly a story in the momentum.
Yeah.
312-332-3776 if you want to jump in. We're talking about the Bulls. Certainly exciting. They won against the Pacers, taking on the 76ers this afternoon. LaVine is questionable, as is Kobe White.
Yeah, but they've been winning with guys in and out of the lineup.
And that's the thing, too.
This is the difference. Philadelphia is 17-10 on the road. They're legit.
Right.
They've lost two in a row, so probably a little ornery.
And we had that skid, and it was nothing to get too excited about because, again, we've been dealing with injuries.
Right, absolutely.
And the defensive specialist is out, Caruso.
The skid coincided with the injuries. You saw the two blowouts at home even. I mean, like I said, Derrick Jones went down in that first minute against the Nets, and then LaVine goes down really in the first minute against Golden State.
Those are character builders.
Yeah. But they have proven they can win through those injuries. Now, this is a step up in class when you play Philadelphia if you're not at full strength. But Philly's not at full strength, I don't believe. Some of their role players are out. I want to see how they guard Embiid, but I want to go back to Vooch. And are you in agreement with me, 312-332-3776? Vooch down low, great. Vooch outside, not so great. Just leave him down there. And, you got to get some defense out of him. But if he's scoring 36 a game, I don't care what he does on the other end of the court. But stay down low.
Agreed. And there have been times where he hasn't played up to his size.
No.
Consistently.
No.
And that's what he needs to do, and that's where he needs to focus.
Yeah, I do not like him shooting from three, even though once in a while he'll hit a few. I mean, all the big guys can shoot from three these days.
Right.
But I like...
But that's a good point. You know, if he's outside and he hits a three, that does not mean you're going to be hot all game. So only take him when they're really obvious. Otherwise, get down low.
Yeah, I said this before. I think the best decision maker in terms of shooting on that team is Lonzo Ball. I want Vooch to have that kind of decision making when
it
comes to
his... And that's a big miss that we were suffering through as well.
For sure. Right, I mean, it's amazing.
To be able to hang where we are. We're fourth. We're within... in the East?
No, we're first in the East.
First. Oh, I'm sorry. You said...
Four games separate the top six teams.
Okay, that's what it was.
Yeah. Right, four games separate the top six. And...
So it's tight.
The 76ers, I think, are two behind the Bulls.
Okay.
So it's a two game swing today.
Yep.
But the Bulls, I mean, it's amazing. The Bulls, you know, once in a while, they're percentage points ahead of the Heat. But, you know, once in a while, they've dropped down to two or whatever. Then they're right back to number one.
Right.
And the Nets are a mess right now.
See, that's the thing. You're a game or two from being in third or fourth place because it is so tight.
Yes. And
so it's not a dominating first place.
And it's just goofy how it's all going to pan out. I mean, you're just going to, in the playoffs, I mean, there's going to be no easy road. But if the Nets are like a six seed because of these injuries, but then get healthy, I mean, they're going to be the most dangerous six seed in the history of the Eastern Conference.
Right. Yeah, it's about timing. And when are we supposed to get Ball back?
Tyler, you're our injury expert.
I believe 6 to 8 weeks. I want to say maybe about 2 weeks ago.
Okay. All right, so four. And then Caruso's out even further, right? Longer?
And then what you want is, so 6 to 8 would put us where? Around March or a little bit later. That's enough time. You want almost a month or whatever it is. I don't know. When do the playoffs start these days? You want about a month or so with a full squad.
Yep.
To gel again.
Yep.
But like I said, they came together pretty quickly with this new team, so I don't think they need a lot of time to remember how they play together. But you want a couple weeks at least heading into the playoffs.
Oh, no doubt.
Being healthy and getting that rotation the right way.
312-332-3776. Take your phone calls. We'll end up talking about baseball and the non-action and maybe get your pulse on how frustrated you are that February is here and no sign of baseball. They've called for a mediator. We'll talk to Jesse and see what that really means. And, again.
You should be the mediator.
Yeah.
And we'll get it done.
Yeah, me? Just walk in there?
Yeah.
Just put the, like a Three Stooges skit. Just line them all up and do the slap across.
You and Fred.
Yeah, it'd be all right. I would have fun doing that. 312-332-3776. It's Rogers, it's Xander. This is ESPN 1000.